You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith, the voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago. Finally, it's 9:06 in the morning. We wanted to be with you a few moments ago, but the network just couldn't find the switch to put us on. So sometimes the speed of sound is slower than it is on other days. Good to be with you, and thank you for joining us. Hope you had a great Independence Day weekend, celebrating freedom of being a citizen of this great country. But, you know, as Christians, we know that true freedom comes not in our national origin. It comes in belonging to Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And if we believe that, we know that the truth will really set us free. That's the only freedom that really counts. So today, we are talking about a very important issue, the issue of mental health. And we're talking about it with two people who've done a great deal of work, not work ministry in this area, reaching out to those who are afflicted with mental illness and with the families of those who are dealing with these issues. In the studio, we have Connie Rakitan, who is on the Committee on Mental Illness and Faith and Fellowship.
Good morning. Thanks for having us, Connie.
Oh, it's good to have you here.
Good to be here.
And we also have Deacon Tom Lambert, who's from Our Lady of Mount Carmel Parish, and will be presenting at an upcoming local workshop day sponsored by a national committee. We're going to be talking about that in a moment. So welcome to you, Tom.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
You know, before we get to the specifics of this event that you're having on July 21st, let's talk about mental illness in general. I mean, everybody's heard about mental illness, obviously. It's not a huge mystery, but there are degrees and there are different manifestations. So let's talk about what do we mean when we say mental illness.
Well, there is, like you said, general knowledge, but I think there is some misunderstanding too. And part of it is that it often gets confused with cognitive disabilities or learning disabilities. And when we speak of mental illness, we're really speaking about people who have bipolar disease or schizophrenia, depression. So those are the kinds of illnesses that we're speaking of. And as you said, there's a wide range of to the degree that those affect people. Some are mild cases. Some are very severe cases. Some require a lot of medical and therapy and so on, and some are one-time occurrences. So there can be a variety of mental illnesses in the mental illness.
And some forms of mental illness do become chronic, sort of like diabetes, where the condition can be controlled with various medical interventions and so on, but the illness is going to be with the person for the rest of their lives. And there are other situations where the illness will go into remission or the person will recover completely and move on in their life. But I think, as Tom said, that there's no one-size-fits-all in terms of mental illness. It's very complex and very, very wide range of degrees and types.
Yeah. We also want to welcome to the program Janice Benton, who's the director of the NCPD, the National Catholic Partnership on Disability. Welcome, Janice.
Thank you. Good morning.
You run a national organization. Tell us a little bit about the focus and the function of this organization. What are you trying to do?
Our office, the National Catholic Partnership on Disability, is here to support people with any type of disability, including mental illnesses, in their faith journey with the Catholic Church. So we're working to make the church accessible, welcoming to them so that they can more fully live out their, be nourished in their life of faith and then serve the church as well.
Are you an office of the USCCB, the Bishops' Conference?
We are not an office, but we're independent organization, but we work very closely with all of the secretariats and offices there. They don't have a specific disability office, so they look to us for that information.
So support. You're a lobbying and advocacy group?
And education, I would say, education is key. We support the people throughout the diocese. That we have a network of diocesan directors in almost every diocese that's involved in this ministry to some capacity, and we are there to support them with materials, resources, training.
Yeah. Tom, you talked about bipolar issues, depression. What would you say is the number one factor, the number one hindrance that works against people suffering with mental illness getting the kind of help and support that they need?
Well, the major issue is insurance. It's going to, you know, if you have private insurance, and even if you have private insurance, you may not be covered as fully as you should. And certainly on the physical side, the coverage is usually in private insurance is very good. But when you talk about the mental health side, they're not as good. And often I always use the example of when a person goes to the hospital for a surgery or for a broken leg or whatever, you know, you don't leave the hospital till that's fixed. Whereas on the mental health side, oftentimes the prescription for recovery is so many visits, and then they, you know, you're dismissed from the hospital. On the uninsured side, it's just a huge issue, because mental health agencies that serve the people who are uninsured are underfunded in Illinois, and they're not getting the resources, and this current budget crisis is even deepening that problem.
Why is it? I mean, obviously, you know, you have a wart on your toe and you can get all the medical attention you need to get rid of that. But if you're dealing with bipolar issues or depression, why does the medical community not respond as fully to these kinds of issues? Are they harder to perceive? Can people sort of mainstream themselves even as they deal with these issues and kind of go under the radar? What prevents the consciousness from rising to the level where a complete response is made?
One of the things is that there has not been a mandate for this kind of care in Illinois, and I think if you went to the states around the country, you would find the same thing. So that it has a history of being underfunded. And there were, if you go back to the 70s, there were governor's commissions in the 80s and the 90s that said, here's what we should do in Illinois. And this is why I think for the church it's an issue of justice, because we know what we should be doing. We know how to do it. We just don't fund it as a society. And so as Catholics in our social teaching, we're talking about working for the common good, especially those who are poor. And this is certainly an area that needs that.
I think another factor in why the health insurance issue is so significant is the whole question of stigma that's associated with mental illness. And a felt perception out there that it's a character flaw, or if you just kind of suck it up and move forward, that people who have mental illnesses could do better than they're doing if they just got their act together. And that is so wrong. And I think that that thinking is to some extent diminishing, but it's still out there. And I think that that is another factor in terms of why the healthcare industry isn't providing the kinds of care that they need to. But also, to get back to your first question, why people aren't accessing treatment. And some of that is the sense of stigma, that if I fall and break my arm, I'll go to the doctor. If I'm developing mental health symptoms, I might feel shy or embarrassed or uncomfortable or feel that I might be misunderstood, so I'm less likely to seek out help. And then another factor that I think we need to mention is an issue of mental illness that you didn't mention is schizophrenia.
All right, let's hold that thought, and I want to return to this notion of stigma right after this short break. You're listening to Relevant Radio, AM 950, Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi. We'll be right back after this short break. Please don't go away.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
In our next few issues of the Catholic New World, enjoy our Finding Grace series, The Seven Deadly Sins and Their Heavenly Virtues.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Better than ever, subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Mawusi, a retreat for anyone who ministers in Black Catholic communities, means in the hand of God. Mawusi is designed especially for men and women, religious, lay ministers, deacons, catechists, RCIA leaders, lectors, and youth ministers. This retreat is a time for catechetical and spiritual formation, transformation, inspiration, and relaxation. Come and experience the richness of African American spirituality and culture. The Mawusi retreat will be held Friday, July 24th to Sunday, July 26th at the Techne Towers Retreat Center, 2001 Waukegan Road in Techne, Illinois. For more information, contact the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry at 312-534-8040. That's 312-534-8040 to register for the Mawusi retreat.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation. If you've just joined us, so did we. We just joined ourselves. We are a little late getting started this morning because of a little glitch with the network, but we're glad to be with you now because we're talking about a very important issue that touches the lives of most of us, mental illness. It's probably something some of us may not be aware of, many of us may not want to acknowledge, but it's a reality nonetheless. People struggling with issues of mental illness and the way our society deals with it and how differently we deal with it than we do with physical ailments. Janice Benton, director of the NCPD, the National Catholic Partnership on Disability, you've been sponsoring or are going to be sponsoring some national workshops, one in Washington, D.C. on July 11th, one right here in Chicago on July 21st, and another in Portland on the 24th of July. Why are you sponsoring these workshops, and what is the nature of these workshops?
We're sponsoring them because we want people throughout the country in parishes to begin to find ways to support family, individuals with mental illness and their families. And so that's the focus of the workshops, is to help anybody involved in parish life, pastors, seminarians, deacons, catechists, youth ministers, family life people, all the people involved in parishes or dioceses, to understand a little bit about mental illness and how they can begin to support people in parish life, how they can begin building relationships and overcome some of the stigma that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. Now, picking up on that, and I want to urge our callers, if you have any questions, and we don't have psychologists in the room, you know, so we're not going to fix anything. But if you have questions about dealing, responding, supporting people and families who have this reality in their lives, please give us a call. Our number is 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. Connie, you were talking about the whole stigma question earlier. Mm-hmm. And it's no secret. Everybody knows that you have a mental illness. People tend to shy away. There's even a radio commercial airing nowadays where a woman says to the other, you know, so-and-so, I was just diagnosed with bipolar problem. And her friend says, oh, go buy a pair of earrings. You know, you'll feel better. You know, and they say, replay that. You know, the correct response would be, girl, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
But we do tend to run away from that. Why is it so hard for us to deal with that issue when, you know, we can say, you know, my mother has a heart condition and there's no embarrassment with that?
I think part of it is that sometimes people who have mental illness, whose symptoms are maybe severe, can be, because it's a mental illness, their thought processes are impaired or compromised. And so there's a sense that these people who have these illnesses might be peculiar. As we mentioned before, there's a lot of stigma attached to that. And I think a huge part of the problem is we're just uncomfortable talking about it. Now, fortunately, in the past 10 years or so, there's been those kinds of ads on the radio that you just described, so that some of that discomfort is little by little diminishing. But there's still a long way to go. But I think that it's something that we're not 100% comfortable with. And you know yourself, when you're not comfortable with something, you just don't want to deal with it. Yeah. You don't want to talk about it. Or you make a joke out of it. Other illnesses, such as cancer, for example.
Yeah. I can remember back in the 50s dealing with cancer. My mother died from cancer, and people whispered about what was going on. It wasn't really out in the open, and people didn't want to talk about it. And yet look today, you know, we have a wonderful evolution of awareness. We have walks. We have all kinds of information about breast cancer. And yet when you look at mental illness, that has not taken place. It's still in the closet, and it's one of the – I always say there's very few things left in the closet anymore, but mental illness is one of those things.
And I think that that brings us back to the workshops that Janice has been talking about. Our hope is that this is going to be one more step, and especially within the church, and maybe having a broader impact to bring this issue out of the closet and to put it on the table and say, let's talk about it, let's name it, let's deal with it, let's not be afraid of it anymore.
Part of the stigma issue, too, has been how the media has portrayed mental illness and a lot of times in movies as well. You know, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and things like that have this negative image of what a person who has a mental illness is. Yet the vast majority of people with mental illnesses are living good lives. We don't know it because of the stigma. They're not going to tell you about their illness, but people function very well. You know, again, there's that whole strata of the severity of the illness, but there's many people living very productive, wonderful lives and taking medicine and dealing with their mental illness.
Well, I have butterflies in my stomach in dealing with the discomfort issue because my mother suffered from mental illness. Mm. I've never said that in a public forum before. Mm. And it was pretty severe in a lot of ways. We didn't know it. Mm-hmm. We didn't know she had mental illness. You know, we were immigrant family. We spoke Italian. Couldn't find a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't the kinds of psychiatric drugs available then that there are available now. But as a family, it made our lives considerably more difficult because we were dealing with issues that we couldn't understand.
Sure.
You know,
my
mother thought things were true that clearly weren't true, and there was no way of talking her out of them.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how often I hear that story, you know, when you start talking about mental illness. And the frequency is 1 in 17 people in the United States suffer with a severe and chronic mental illness. So it's very common. But you don't hear about it because people don't talk about it. So when you start talking about it, and people say, well, I had an aunt, I have, and certainly in my childhood, you know, I had two aunts who dealt with depression. I had a grandfather who committed suicide. And again, it was not talked about in those days. But today, hopefully, by, you know, parishes being more aware of these issues and creating a place where people feel comfortable in talking about it and bringing that to God.
And I think another issue is even people who would like to talk about it, who are people of goodwill and really would like to do something, there's a sense of helplessness or frustration. I don't know. What do we do? And again, this gets back to this initiative that NCPD has put together. We would like to help equip parishes with, first of all, education about the illness, but then these are some things that you could do so that the parishes will begin to feel, well, maybe we could be more responsive.
And I think the biggest situation is that it's not that people don't care, it's that people don't know.
Right.
So if we can help people to know and to understand, then our communities will be better off and more accepting.
So the National Catholic Partnership on Disability is sponsoring a workshop here in the Chicago area on July 21st, St. John of the Cross Parish Center in Western Springs. Give us some details about that. Why would someone want to attend this workshop?
Jan, did you want to take that since this is kind of your baby?
I'll speak to it a little, but I think you can add more because it's your direct area in Chicago. But I think people would want to attend because they want to be there and be responsive to people in need. And the parishes are often a first place that people come when they have this need. They're not quite sure where else to turn. They might go to a medical professional, but the second place or sometimes the first place they turn to is their pastor or somebody they trust in the parish. And so, as we mentioned earlier, sometimes we don't know how best to respond. And these workshops, that's what we're trying to do, is help people know what they can say, how they can be there for people. And again, not expecting them to be a psychiatrist or to know how to do that type of thing, but maybe just to know what their local services are that they can direct a person to. But just to be a welcoming, listening ear for people when they're in need.
Okay, so somebody wants to attend this workshop, Connie. What do they do?
Well, they could visit the NCPD website, and that's www.ncpd.org.
One more time.
www.ncpd.org. Or if they want to just get more information and talk locally, they can call the Archdiocesan Commission on Mental Illness, and our number there is 708-383-9276.
One more time.
708-383-9276.
Give us an idea of the kinds of workshops that people can expect on July 21st at St. John of the Cross.
Well, the workshop will cover a basic understanding of mental illness, and there will be some experience of talking about, well, what does that mean in a local parish setting? And then we will go into sacramental preparation, again, kind of an overview of how that can be done in parishes using some examples. And then we also have some very wonderful examples of parishes that have been reaching out to people with mental illness and making the parishes a more welcoming place for people with mental illness. So there'll be a lot of very practical things.
A best practices kind of model.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And hearing stories from people themselves through a video that we've produced. And the Archdiocese was kind enough to allow us to do filming there in Chicago. And so there will be some local people who primarily are part of the Faith and Fellowship program, but others as well, who live with mental illness and are telling their stories. So people will get a sense.
We're going to continue our conversation on the important topic of mental illness and ministerial response. If you have a question or a comment, please call us 312-255-8408. You're listening. Catholic Community Faith will be back in just a moment.
Who do you know in their 20s or 30s? Adult children, grandchildren, colleagues, neighbors, and friends.
The Archdiocese of Chicago is offering something just for them. It's called Theology on Tap.
We all know people who aren't as connected to the church as we wish they were. We also know young adults who are very connected, sharing their gifts in many ways.
Whatever their situation, however connected they are, let's take it to the next level. Theology on Tap is a speaker and discussion series exclusively for people in their 20s and 30s, married and single. It's an opportunity for them to
meet good people their own age,
to deepen their faith and spirituality,
to make connections between faith and everyday life,
and explore the things that matter most.
It's an opportunity for all of us to share the Catholic faith with them, so they, in turn, can pass it along to their children.
We encourage you to personally invite every young adult you know to Theology on Tap. It begins July 12th at 42 locations throughout the Chicagoland area.
Details can be found at yamchicago.org.
That's yamchicago.org.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back. Good to be here with you on this Monday morning in Chicago, right after the Independence Day weekend, celebrating the freedom that we share in this great country. But we all know that the only real freedom comes when we surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it's such a privilege that we have Catholic radio here in Chicago. We get to talk about realities like that. And we also get to talk about realities like mental illness, which affects how many families?
One in four families is the national statistic.
Wow, that's a huge number.
It is.
So you extrapolate that in your parishes, and so you look at your people in church, and you go, one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four. Yeah. And I think we don't see it because, as we mentioned before, there's such a stigma. And also, people with mental illnesses and their families, they're so caught up in dealing with the illness that sometimes they just stop participating as much as they used to in church, and they kind of disappear, and we don't know where they are, but they're still there.
I want to ask you how families can help, but before we do, we want to let our listeners know that the upcoming event, July 21st, workshop from 9 to 4 at St. John of the Cross Parish Center in Western Springs, you can find information about that on the Archdiocesan website in the coming events section, and that website is www.archchicago.org. Archchicago.org. Look for the upcoming events section. Tom and Connie, tell us, if a parish really recognizes the importance of this issue and wants to make a response, in what kind of ways can they be supportive to families and individuals with mental illness?
I think the very first step is making the parish aware of the issues. And there's many ways to do that, either through the bulletin, through preaching, and just letting people know that you're there and aware. Even prayers of the faithful, specifically naming when we're praying for people, specifically naming people with schizophrenia, you know, rather than a more generic mental health, because that sends a message that this is a place that understands the situation and is willing to help people in need. Mm. The other thing is, I think, being aware of resources. As we said before, I think the national statistic is like over 40% of people contact their clergy person first when they're dealing with a crisis of mental illness. And so if we as clergy or pastoral ministers know of the resources in the neighborhood where people can go, that's a tremendous help, because when you're in crisis, and our oldest daughter has a mental illness, so when that first happened to our family in the 80s, we didn't know where to turn. Fortunately, we heard about the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill, and that was it's a great resource. They have a family-to-family program, which helps families. But we can do a lot of modeling in that regard in terms of our own parishes to help people and, again, funnel them into the resources that are available.
I'd like to add two other things that parishes can do. I think what Deacon Tom suggests are first initial steps, and I think additional things would be for peace and justice committees or human concerns commissions to look at some of the policy issues that we talked about earlier in terms of health care. Certainly right now the crisis in social services that the state of Illinois is experiencing, parishes could be a real strong voice in letting their legislators know that people with mental illness require the kinds of services and the kinds of care that they're going to be losing. So I think that for parishes to engage in policy advocacy consistent with church teaching would be an important thing that can be done. And also, our parishes have support groups or affinity groups or spirituality groups for everybody. We have for the widowed, we have for the divorced, we have for cancer survivors, for teenagers. I think that there would be a real value in having spirituality groups that people with mental illnesses and or their families could come to and either deal with and discuss some of the issues that they're confronting, or just pray together in a way that's open and understanding of their unique situation.
I was going to ask about that because I thought that's got to make a huge difference. And it seems to me, I don't know if statistics bear this out, it seems to me there are more young people dealing with these issues, obsessive-compulsive disorders, kids who cut themselves. And if you're a parent and you think you're the only parent dealing with this, that's going to scare the heck out of you.
Right, and that it's so true, and you're right. The statistics are showing that there are more of this happening to our young people, and I think it's a combination, too, of we're recognizing it as well, whereas before it might have been buried somewhere. But now it's coming out, and people are more aware, so that's a good thing. But the also a good thing that has to go with that is that we take care of that we address it.
Can I add to what Connie was saying, that parishioners themselves are often business people or in real estate, something like that, where they can consider how they themselves can influence policy or offer jobs to people or be part of the solution, part of helping people get back into the community and live in the community, you know, having housing, fighting programs that are situations where people are resisting perhaps a place for people to live in the community. So parishioners themselves can take active steps.
Absolutely. You know, we have 2 minutes. Connie, quickly, what has the current Holy Father said about the issue of mental illness?
Well, for World Day of the Sick, which is always February 11th or near that date, each year the Holy Father chooses a specific topic to address in his annual letter. And Pope Benedict XVI, his first letter as Pope on World Day of the Sick, address the issue of mental illness. And it's a beautiful letter. You can get it on the Vatican webpage, or you can call the commission office and we can send you copies in English, Polish, or Spanish. But he really gets it, and it's a real mandate for the church to step up and do exactly the things that we've been discussing in our conversation this morning. And actually, it was his letter that was sort of the foundation for the formation of this council through the NCPD and ultimately the workshops that we're having nationally and here in Chicago on the 21st of July.
Yeah. The four pillars of support that people need for health and recovery are what, Tom?
They're the psychological, the physical, the spiritual, and the social.
And where can the church most help?
Certainly in the spiritual. I mean, that's a fundamental thing that we do, and we do it well, is we bring the spiritual side to people, and especially people in need. And certainly the social part is part of that as well. And certainly we can be a referral for the physical and the psychological, helping people know where to go for help.
We need to bring this conversation to a close, so we want to thank Janice Benton, Director of the National Catholic Partnership on Disability, Deacon Tom Lambert from Our Lady Mount Carmel, and Connie Rakitan from the Committee on Mental Illness and Faith. Remember, July 21st, St. John of the Cross Parish, 9 to 4, workshop on mental illness.
708 708- 383-9276.
You're listening to Catholic Community Faith. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Thank you.
The Chicago Catholic Scripture School is now accepting applications for classes starting in September throughout the Archdiocese. This is our Bible study program for adults. Students come together weekly to pray and study the Word of God with teachers who are themselves strong Catholics with an extensive background in Scripture and theology. Year 1 classes will be held at St. Anne's in Barrington, St. Joseph in Libertyville, St. Julie Billiard in Tinley Park, St. Teresa of Avila in Lincoln Park, and St. Philip Neri in the South Shore neighborhood. There will be a Year 1 class in Spanish at St. Cecilia in Mount Prospect and Precious Blood on Chicago's west side. And our first Scripture School in Polish will be held at St. Hyacinth Basilica. For more information or to register for the Chicago Catholic Scripture School, visit www.catechesis-chicago.org or call 312-534-8053. That's 312-534-8053 and www.catechesis-chicago.org.
The Archdiocese of Chicago has launched a blog and wants you to join in the conversation. Here's Cardinal Francis George talking about modern communications.
Church was in radio when it first started and then television. Now with the blogs and the internet and all, the church has to be there too for the same reason St. Paul was in the town square in Athens and Corinth, the Areopagus, where people would come together and listen to everybody talk. Well, that Areopagus is now electronic.
Cardinal George will rotate with other archdiocesan leaders in posting their thoughts on faith-based topics and taking part in this electronic dialogue. Visit our blog at www.archchicago.org. Read what Catholic leaders have to say and become part of the discussion. That's www.archchicago.org. We hope to hear from you soon.
We'll see how this works. I'm curious myself. I'm looking forward to it.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, AM 950. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation. Working solo today, Father Greg is away. We don't know where, vacationing in some secret location. So we pray that he's having a good, restful time. We just had a very serious conversation about mental illness and church response and support for that. We're going to go to a very different topic now, vacation Bible school. Let me tell you that it's summer, and that means vacation time and vacation Bible school. We have with us this morning Veronica Pantelis, director of the St. Patrick Parish in Lake Forest Vacation Bible School. And she's with us to talk about Crocodile Dock, not rock, Crocodile Dock, their program for kids ages 4 to 10, billed as amazing Bible adventures, cool crafts, great games, awesome music and snacks you can sink your teeth into. Don't you want to sign up right now? I want to go. It's a professional program from Groups. Welcome, Veronica.
Oh, thank you.
Groups is what? Groups is a ministry resource for teens and preteens?
Well, it's a company that provides vacation Bible school plans, and they provide the music, they provide all the literature for it, and the handouts and everything. There's a number of companies out there, but Group is the one that we use.
Yeah. So how long have you been doing Vacation Bible School?
This is our fourth year.
And you've been doing it all four of those years?
Yep, I have. I really enjoy it.
What kind of numbers do you get?
Well, this year we're going to be at 80. We've been a little higher in the past couple of years,
yeah.
but 80 is a good number for our resources and for the space we have.
That's a lot of children.
Yeah, it is a lot of children.
All right, now what is this Crocodile Dock? It sounds like a lot of fun. It sounds like a Fright Fest for the Bible, up at Great America here.
Well, it's just the theme that the group company came out with. And then so each year they have a theme. Like last year it was the Nutty Professors. And so we had volunteers leading and dressing up like professors. And this year, so it's a kind of a bayou theme. So it helps us decorate the room up. And then the songs are centered around the bayou theme.
Okay, so this is a program, an approach that you can take in your own local parish.
Yes.
We don't have to go somewhere to do Crocodile Dock.
No. No, we do it in our own parish.
You do it in your own parish. Mm-hmm. And anybody else could do this too.
Yep. And there's a number of parishes around us that do the same program in their church. And it's a little different depending if you do the Catholic version, which we do.
Uh-huh. Oh, so groups prepare as a Catholic versus a Protestant version?
Yeah, mostly it's the Protestant version, and then if you want the Catholic add-ins, you buy an extra little piece, and that gives you the
All right, that's fascinating. What are the Catholic add-ins?
Well, some of the saints. We have a saint for the day each day, and we have a person who acts out that saint and kind of tells the kids about their life. And some of the Bible verses might be a little different.
Okay. So it sounds like this is very much a team approach.
It is a team approach. And luckily, we have a lot of volunteers and a lot of youth volunteers, which is great because we get so many involved in it. And the younger kids love to have the teenagers working with them and helping out with all of the different areas, because there's five different areas that all the kids go to.
Yeah. So your volunteers, they're moms or dads who are free for the week and come in?
Yeah, some mom and dads that help. Some can do the whole week and some just do like a day, which is both are great. And then, like I say, we have a lot of youth volunteers too.
So the youth volunteers would be high school kids?
Some high school and a lot of junior high. And then they get service hours for that. So that helps some of them make up the hours they need to.
So what kind of things are they doing?
Well, they're leading the kids around to their different activities, and they help them with the crafts, help them with the games. We have one area called Bible Adventures where we have tell the story of the Bible story for that day, and one person acts it out, and then we have the other kids help out.
Yeah.
Like last year, we had the parting of the Red Sea was one of them, so we made that up in this big bin, and the kids all have to walk through it, and just things like that to try to get them to get the idea.
So it's all very experiential.
Yes.
And that's what works best, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And then they ask more questions, which is good, and they learn some songs and easy movements, and it really helps them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that term, Vacation Bible School, is not a common one in Catholic circles, because I think we tend to associate that with Protestant churches. But praise be to God that Catholics are catching up on the need to educate our children on the stories of the Bible.
Yeah, it's a great way because it's very relaxed atmosphere. The kids come in their shorts and their tennis shoes because they're going to run around, and they hear these stories, and then they remember them, and then they meet other children, so that when they go to Mass on Sunday, they see other kids they know, and I think that helps, it helps everyone feel like a community.
Sure. And they're going to hear these stories proclaimed, at Sunday Masses for the rest of their lives, but having had this hands-on experience is obviously going to color the way they hear those stories every subsequent time, don't you think?
Yeah, I do think that. And seeing a person act out the story, they'll remember that, and it brings them closer, brings the story closer to them, I think.
All right. We need to go to a short break. We're going to continue our conversation about Scripture and Vacation Bible School. So please stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Would you like to discuss faith-based issues with Cardinal George and other archdiocesan leaders? Stick around. We'll tell you about our newly launched blog. We'll visit with two organizers of the Catholic Festival of Faith and tell you how to register for this wonderful October event. And Catholic school children put their artistic talents to good use by drawing anti-drug messages. These stories and more are coming your way in this latest edition of The Church, the Cardinal, and You.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Catholic Charity's 12th Annual Golf Invitational will be held this year on July 22nd at Cog Hill in Lamont, Illinois. This year, players will have the chance to golf on the newly renovated Dubs Dread course. Contest holes will be spread throughout the day to challenge players, including a contest to outdrive Sister Mary Ann Dosen, a nun with a great swing, and chances to meet local celebrities, including former White Sox player Ron Kittle. This year, more than ever, families are turning to Catholic Charities in their time of need. Your participation in the Golf Invitational can help a family prevent homelessness after losing a job or feed their family if they're having trouble making ends meet. All proceeds go to benefit Catholic Charities Family Services programs. Book your foursome today by calling 312-948-6797. That's 312-948-6797. For more information, visit us on the web at www.catholiccharities.net.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. You're listening to Relevant Radio 950 AM. Veronica, you run Catholic Bible School. Let me just tell you a quick story. When my daughter was in high school, she was playing Trivial Pursuit with her cousins. Now, mind you, I sweated and worked hard to put my daughter through Catholic grade school and Catholic high school. Whereas her cousins went to public school, you know, I was feeling a little proud and arrogant about the fact that she was the Catholic kid in the group, because the question they were facing was, who was Cain? And the cousins had no clue. So my daughter Amanda turns to me and says, Dad, who was Cain? I said, well, you know who that is. And she goes, no, I don't. I go, Cain, you know, the brother of Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve. And she goes, oh, Adam and Eve. Our teacher told us that was a myth, so we skipped it. I was never so mortified in my life. But it made me realize that a lot of our Catholic kids don't know their Bible stories. When you don't know your Bible stories, you don't know your identity as a person of faith, right?
Right.
And it comes through those stories. So the work you're doing with Vacation Bible School, I think, is really making a giant step to make sure that doesn't happen to the future generation.
Well, and luckily the stories, when you act them out and the kids see them acted out, they kind of bring them to life. They're a lot more interesting for them. And then they get to try to, you know, part the Red Sea by walking through that water and different things. They get to try it too. So hopefully it helps them remember.
Yeah. Can you think of any children who you just thought were especially impacted by one of the stories that you acted out or by a character they got a chance to play in Vacation Bible School?
Well, I can't think of, I can think of one of the saints that one of the kids acted out. It was St. Lucy, and she was tortured as a saint and had her eye poked out while she was in prison, unfortunately. And so when the person doing the acting out, we bandaged her face. And so that she only had one eye. And so all the kids asked about that, and they were really interested. And then we heard some kids, you know, keep talking about it for a couple weeks after that.
Yeah. Well, this program that you're using, and you mentioned earlier that each year there's a different theme. This year it's y'all come down to the bayou, right?
Right.
So are you developing your Southern Louisiana accent?
I think I'll have to work on that for a couple more weeks.
All right. But it sounds like there's exciting stuff. Some of the resources, the Sing and Play Swamp Stomp DVD, Sing and Play Swamp Stomp Music CD Leader version, the Web Toy Box, the Spotlight Drama. Have you begun utilizing some of these resources?
We have. And so when we have our opening, then we have a big screen behind us that shows the other kids that sing the songs and do the hand motions. So it helps teach our whole group the hand motions.
Wow. So it sounds like this program really gives you a tremendous amount of guidance and support.
Yeah, it does. It's one of the better ones that we found for us. And then another big thing that we liked about it was it has a social justice piece. And so when we try to bring that into the Vacation Bible School and try to get kids to realize that we're very fortunate and there's less fortunate kids out there.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'd like to hear you say more about that, because I don't think you can emphasize that enough. This isn't just about fun and games with scripture stories. It's really about internalizing them and finding ways then to go and live them out.
Yes, that's right. And like last year, we had the kids all bring in old books, and we gave them to an organization that distributes them in the Chicagoland area to kids and to libraries that may not have the money for books. And this year, we're going to have pajamas. So kids who are waiting to be adopted or in foster care many times don't have, you know, a nice snuggly pair of pajamas, and so that's going to be our service project.
Now, you mentioned you've been doing this for 4 years. Have you had the experience yet where one of the older kids who had been in Vacation Bible School is now one of the volunteers helping out?
Yes, we have. So that's kind of nice to see that they've come back and they want to help.
Yeah. And I love the whole notion of the multi-generational dimension of it. You've got the moms and dads there. You've got the teens there and the junior high kids, as well as the what's your age range, 4
well,
to 10?
From 4 to 10 for the program. And so we have a separate preschool program. And then from kindergarten to third grade is the kids are mixed up in a group, and they go around to all their activities.
Am I right in assuming this sounds like a live action Sesame Street kind of approach? You've got the singing, you've got the characters on the big screen, you got gestures going along, you're acting out, you're dramatizing.
Yeah, it is. And then, like I say, but that gets them, you know, and they have fun with it, and they keep coming back. So they like it, and we like it too. So.
And then do you take time to focus the kids to sit and talk about it and do life application kinds of things?
Yes, after their activities, we have at the end, we come back and we talk about it as a group, and we have one leader who kind of hones in on a few points for the kids to take home, and then we ask them to do something special for their mom or dad or to live out what they learned today at home.
Yeah.
And then we ask them about it the next day to say, so what did you do to carry that out? And, you know, everyone raises their hand and wants to volunteer, which is good because then it gets them to doing that.
So how many hours a day is the program?
The program is 2.5 hours a day.
And what kind of background do you have that prepared you for doing this?
Nothing special, really, just years of religious education.
Yeah.
And then my own children wanted to do it, and a church in our neighborhood was doing it. And we thought, well, our church should do that too, and we got a bunch of volunteers together.
So if someone like yourself who felt like, hey, I'm no educational expert, but had the interest and the desire, the passion for doing this kind of thing, if they wanted to mount a program like this, would you tell them it's doable? And
oh yes, I definitely think you get some of your friends who want to stick with you on the program, and you go to your pastor like we did and lay the plan out, you know. And we're pretty organized about it, especially after a few years now.
Are you willing to give advice?
Sure, if they want to.
All right, if somebody wanted to call you, how would they get a hold of you?
My number is 847-948-8217.
Do that one more time, please.
It's 847-948-8217.
All right, so any moms out there who maybe are experienced catechists and see that, you know, you want to go down to the bayou this year, and next year, who knows, maybe you'll go to medieval Europe.
Yeah, you never know.
And you want to introduce children to the glories of Scripture, to meet Bible characters, to meet saints, here's an exciting and impactful way to do that.
Yes, yes. And the kids will keep talking about it, and which is a nice thing.
Yeah. What about pastor involvement? Have you been able to pull that off?
Well, you know, we ran the idea by him before, Father Dunn, and he said, okay, go with it. And then we laid out our plan for him. And then on the last day, he usually visits and comes and says like a little something to all the kids.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, listen, we want to thank you, Veronica Pantelis, Director of St. Patrick Parish Vacation Bible School. Encourage all of you out there who want to do the same to go ahead and try it. We thank Diane Dunnigan, our producer for the program this morning, and our engineer, Brian Hockey Hitman Brock. We thank you for listening. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, and you've been listening to the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a blessed week.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour
on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.